No good to me. Good morning.
Good morning.
I promise I'll try to finish soon. All right. I wanted to start off with a video. It's only a 30-second video, but I couldn't get one for the Bears, but all I'm going to show you is a 30-second video of what happened in the last few seconds of the game. There is a league-wide standard when you're about to make a play on the different ways you call a play. The clock can be a friend or it can be your enemy. You need to score, but you're running out of time. The clock is your enemy. You need to score, but you're running out of the time and you're on the defense. The clock is your friend. You just want to stall them as much as you can. But one thing that, as I learned football, I learned is spiking the ball. When you spike the ball, you lose a turn, but you just stop the clock. So even if it's just 1 second on the clock has stopped. And all across the league, the sign for spiking the ball is hand-down motion. The sidelines, the players, the doesn't matter which team, the motion's the same. So, spike the ball, we're running out of time. Watch. I guess audio doesn't come through, but that's okay. He's telling everybody that he's about to spike the ball because he's got just inches. What just happened is he told everybody, get down, I'm about to spike the ball, and without any count, even before the first number proceeded, he said something and he reached over. They scored the winning touchdown. The game was over. What does that have to do with anything that I'm about to say? And honestly, George, I did try to find a Bears trick play, but they were not of good grain quality. But there are a few Bears trick plays out there. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. What we're going to cover today are just the first 6 verses of 1 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for giving us a wonderful testimony from Mac of how sometimes we just sit aside and don't act on things, but if we just start spending time with your loved ones, start learning from your loved ones whom you've already placed around us, that there's a lot that we can do. And help us to wisely use our time that we spend on this earth. And as we continue to spend time in the Word, let these six verses stay in our hearts and minds for as long as possible. Let your words enter our hearts for the next few minutes. We ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. We are coming off a strong exhortation for the last few weeks on love in chapter 3. The few things that we read in chapter 3 were, this is the message that we should love one another. This is his commandment that we love one another. When Will spoke last week, he brought four main points: eternal life, love, truth, and the Holy Spirit. Love, truth, and the Holy Spirit is again what John is trying to hold on to. Like we said earlier, he's not a fluent writer, he zigzags. And so love, truth, and Holy Spirit is again coming up in chapter 4. He tries to bring out the difference between a real one and a fake one. And that brings us to the theme, or the main topic of today. And that is, know what is from God. The theme for the whole book is still know that we are of God. But the theme for today is know what is from God. Love them all, but make sure you know whom you're loving. We keep talking about love, 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 love. All John was trying to do in the next series of paragraphs that he wrote in his letter is, I'm telling you to love one another, but just don't go loving everybody. And the outline for today is just 3 points. Number one, test. Number two, real versus fake. And lastly, there are fans on both sides. So you're not supposed to see that yet. So let's start with the first part, test. What is going on here? Why did we suddenly switch from a person to a spirit? It said in the verse, you need to go with the flow here. In chapter 3 it says, this is his commandment that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. That's the flow. You tell us to love one another, that's another human being, and then we just suddenly switch to spirit. So what is the difference between a spirit and a person? I was looking around for a good explanation, and guess what? The Bible that gave me the best one was the one that all the high schoolers got from George, the ESV. It was short and sweet, but it said it correctly. Spirit is equal to a person moved to speak by such a spirit. Whenever the word spirit is showing up in this phrase, it's the person, it's the spirit within the person. It's not really the person who is being referred to, it's the inside faith, the inner core, his thought process, his motive, where his heart really is, what drives him. Combine all that into a little gremlin-like assistant and put it in him, and that's the spirit. While you all turn to Matthew 7, let me just read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Goes like this. To another, okay, 1 Corinthians 12 is the chapter of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this is not a John thing or John going crazy in the island or under captivity and coming up with spirit terminology. This is, in 1 Corinthians 12, one of the gifts goes like this. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. So that definitely means that there is a spirit that's okay and there's a spirit that's not okay in the church. And somebody should be having the gift of distinguishing between spirits. There's one more verse in 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 14 and 29, which goes like this. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. Others here, if you translate it back, it was actually the church and not the prophets. So
it kind of implies that
if somebody is prophesying, not that it happens today, but even at that time, if somebody was prophesying, the church had the authority to say, yeah or nay, that doesn't sound right. Something is not right with the way he prophesied that. Now, if we were to turn to Matthew 7, we can come to the main point about test. Why even bother testing? Matthew chapter 7, we'll read the first bunch of verses. These are Jesus' own words. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So far you're telling me, Jesus is telling us, judge not. Verse 6 goes like this, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So now Jesus is telling us, okay, but just don't be gullible, just don't believe everything or go with everyone. There are people out there who are up to no good. And jump ahead to verses 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So if you can't produce fruit, you're as good as firewood, is what he was saying there. And that was what the picture is not coming up, so let me quickly show you what I was trying to show, and that's this. Please open up. That's a Rolex watch, and I know you're never going to buy a Rolex watch from the dark aisles of New York City, but I was trying to look for a good way of explaining this, but an old man was shown 5 Rolex watches, and he immediately pointed at the one that was fake. They looked really, really, really original. So when he was asked, he's good at this, he sells Rolex watches. So they asked him, how did you make out the one that was wrong? Rolex watch has a date, the date shown in there. And everybody knows the font is standard. You can fake the font. But the one thing that's the most difficult to do is Rolex does what is called a 2.5 times magnification. So what is supposed to, for example, look like an inch will look like 2.5 inches. You have to see enough number of Rolex watches in your lifetime to know exactly how big 15 should look. As soon as you see the watch, if the concave that you're looking through doesn't make it look 2.5 times, a real expert is going to call it out and throw it away. Here is a simple example of fruits. Your fruits come out as you start living your Christian life. You may not show it at one time, but at some point it's going to come out. And as somebody is watching and observing, they're going by what they're seeing, and sometimes it gets magnified. And if you're, look at your outside as a magnifying glass to others. Their view to you is your fruits of the Spirit. There's one more point later in Revelation 2. That's where it goes. Revelation 2 and verse 2, where John goes back to the same people of the church and says, Revelation, to, keep in mind, Revelation 2, the first part is to the church of Ephesus. So, verse 2, he says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, and have tested those who call themselves apostles, and are not, and found them to be false. He knows that they have tested, and here we read him telling them, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. This is again another one of those examples where John clearly tells the same church first, test, 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 test. This is how you test. And then later in Revelation says, I know you guys have been testing. Let's move over to part two. Part two was, if you remember the outline, was the real versus the fake. Like we saw in the picture. Let's read the passage one more time. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. A spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, a spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God, and a spirit that's already in the world. The first part, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Again, I'm not going to go into details, but we repeated Gnosticism for the last four or five Sundays. But you need to, again, understand that this letter is being sent to the people somewhere because something is going on over there at that time, and that is just not right. And that something is Gnosticism. The belief in Gnosticism, again, was that that matter was bad, hence anything that's material is evil, and so human bodies or physical bodies are evil. So Jesus was not evil, and so he was definitely not in a physical body. And so it was some pseudo form of a physical body. He was always God and never actually in a human form. To counter this is why there's repeated emphasis on the phrase that he has come in the flesh. Anybody saying otherwise is not being led by the right spirit. To explain Christ, you and I need to explain his humanity. To explain Christ, you have to go back 2,000 years and explain what he did and why it had to be done from a human form. When you're giving the gospel, you are not just talking about him being up there. If you take out the human form, it's like saying God did everything from up there and never had a personal relationship with his loved one. The human form is what makes this personal. The gap between God and man goes away with the human form that Jesus took. The baby in Bethlehem was a human baby. The great act of love on the cross makes no sense if the human on the cross was not human. The death that the human died on the cross is bogus if it was not a fully human being up on the cross. The sins and struggles of man are something Jesus faced while on this earth too. It was not skipped from his genes on creation. The part where Jesus came into this world is a very important part of our gospel. The part where he came into this world is crucial. But there is another side to it. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. The second thing that he's bringing up here is the from God part. Not one or the other. If a person loves history and has come to the conclusion that yes, I know for a fact because I'm a history major that Jesus was really a human who walked on the earth many years ago, but doesn't think that he was anything more than a good man, watch out. Again, there is an example of the spirit of error. I don't want to use the word Antichrist so much because it kind of rubs people the wrong way, but there is the spirit of error. It's not just that he existed 2,000 years ago and he was a nice man. Also note the word Christ is missing here in the turnaround portion. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Confess Jesus. So the word Christ was missing, and it is deliberately missing in the original manuscript. Let me put it a different way. If, for example, this person walks in through those doors as I'm about to leave, and I just see him, and you're looking at me as I'm walking up, and I recognize him, and I say, oh, hi, Barry, and leave, you have no idea that I just addressed Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. You're like, what just happened? You didn't just address him, you didn't just call him by his first name, you shortened his first name and said hi and walked up. That was the president. And you, in turn, would probably be referring to him as Mr. President or Mr. Obama. You would prefix or suffix or tag something respectful around the name. You wouldn't do what I did and say, hey, Barry, and walk. Nobody calls Barack Barry. There was an implied respect that came out of you, whether you want it, whether you like him or not. It's the same thing here. It's this exact same thing. Jesus is only Jesus, or Jesus, or whatever you want to call it. It's just a first name if he's not Christ. In the turnaround portion of the verse, there is a reason why Christ is not mentioned. Because if he is not Christ to somebody, right there is a wrong spirit, or a person being led by the wrong thought process talking to you. The third part is the part where it says, "are already in this world." And it took a lot for me to not go into starting to label all the people that are already in this world and all the organizations that are already in this world. So I'm going to try and keep it brief. The teachings of the present day. Jesus was a good man. He did good things, nothing more. Another one. Jesus is a prophet, just like the 7 old Americans who were the prophets of the Americas. A false Messiah, someone who claimed the title of the Messiah, but who ultimately did not meet the requirements laid out in our Word of God. Messenger, created by God, was rescued by God, but was not killed or crucified and was taken away just before that. These are all actual teachings, and they all hit one of these two points. This is called living under the influence, LUI. They are being led by the spirit of the Antichrist, or the spirit of error, or the spirit of misbelief. But hold on, there's verse 4, and that's the second part of we're still on the second part of the outline, and verse 4 goes like this: "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." 3 parts here. Know you are from God. Know that you have overcome them. Know that He is greater than He. The very theme that we picked for this whole book is know that we are from God. Stop forgetting the fact that when you accepted Him, you are now a new creation. You are a new being. You are now royal priesthood. You don't get the royal label unless it was given to you, and it was given to you by royalty. Know that you have overcome them. When you emptied yourself out, confessed everything in you, and brought Jesus into your heart, you overcame the devil. You got over the hump. If this was an uphill battle, you were actually on the downhill because somebody helped you get up to the top. The verbal debates or ridicule that you have to face or sometimes shy away from should not defeat you, because the real battle has already been won. You were single-handedly trying to take out the spirit of error or the spirit of Antichrist from someone. When has anyone ever changed their mind and agreed with the opponent in an argument? Have you ever heard of an argument which ended in both parties hugging each other? It doesn't even happen between a husband and a wife. I guess my wife stepped out at the right time. You don't have to try too hard when you know your personal battle is won. You give it a good attempt, but you don't be let down because you just didn't win a debate or an argument. Know that you have overcome them. Know that He is greater than He, finally. And this is the part where Bill already read the entire portion that's my favorite. Know that you have overcome them is Romans 8, 31 to 39. But okay, so I'm an action movie guy, so when for me Romans 8:31 onwards is kind of like putting the Transformers score in the background. You need something to pump you up, and Romans 8:31 is my like get out and conquer kind of a theme song. Romans 8:31 onwards. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't need any more motivation than Romans 8:31 onwards. I know we have already overcome them and he is greater than he. Know that he, capital H, is greater than he, small h. If the defensive linemen now look back at the tape, which I'm pretty sure they did 100 times already, it's pretty clear that they know they could have stopped him. They had more pounds on him. And if you look closely, they even had the numbers on Stafford. It would have been pretty easy to stop him. It was later confirmed that the coaching staff signaled repeatedly to get into formation to stop a sneak QB rush. Instead of listening to the coaching staff, they relied on their own intellect and lost the game. They knew that we are a Cowboys defense. They knew they were good enough to earn a spot in the final minutes of a live NFL game. They knew that so far, for the majority of the game, they had stopped him most of the times. They knew that their coaches along the sidelines and up in the box would watch their back and help them out. No, wait, the last statement doesn't stand. They knew that, but they didn't. But they forgot about it for the crucial moment. They didn't trust their coaches. The final part, part three, verses 5 and 6. So far we covered the fact that you just cannot stop testing. You always have to be testing. We kind of tried to quickly go over what does the good spirit say, what does the bad spirit say, what are the differences. And the last part is about the fan following. Why is it that there's always fans for the bad people and it's not the fans of the good people who are increasing? 5 and 6 goes like this. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Does it look like you? No. Up on screen you see Cyril Evans. He was a radio operator on the, well, Merchant Navy, and Navy people probably already know the punchline of this story. I read about it and I was amazed. This is the SS Californian. Pictured here is Cyril Evans, a telegraph operator on board the SS Californian. On the night of April 14th, 1912, the captain, Stanley Ward, brought the ship to a halt because it entered a field of large icebergs. Captain Ward asked Evans to turn up the volume and broadcast a warning out to all ships nearby. He asked him to broadcast the message. The operator on another ship was nearby, And that ship was running at full steam. The operator, the telegraph operator on that ship, you need to understand that the headphones were not as comfortable as they are now. So they are actually sitting there holding it like this. He had his volume turned up because back then technology, if the ships were farther away from each other, the volume was lower. So he needs to be listening intently. So all of a sudden, this telegraph operator on this other ship hears a loud scream about there are icebergs if you can hear us. The operator yelled back at Evans and told him to get off the broadcast. Evans knows he did his job. He yelled it out through the operator and he went retired to his bunk. He did exactly what Captain Ward asked him. A few hours later, 1,500 people aboard the Titanic died. I didn't know this, and I wanted to check if this was a true story or not. And yeah, this is true. And it just kind of shocked me, but it also drives the point home. What happened here was the message was not heard, the delivery of the message was heard. What was being told was told in a wrong way, but really what was being told was not heard. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 and 4 says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This is our very nature. We like to hear what we want to hear. If we don't like what someone says, we immediately dislike the one saying it. How often at work, one of the teams I work for, the compliance and ethics team, which is kind of like internal audit. Hey, I'm just trying to deliver the message. I fear the backlash that some of them, even managers or directors, would have for me. A smooth-talking boy can woo any girl as long as the girl is wise enough to see through him. A megachurch is a megachurch because of not just the music, but the beautiful literary spectacle that proceeds from the mouth of the main pastor. Don't hate me for saying it. What I just said was not a dig at the pastor or the church, but a dig at our human nature to love the people who can talk well, or talk in a way that is always in line with our thoughts and never against our ideologies. It is our nature to like someone who makes us feel good. Regardless of how the person is expounding from the word, our focus should always be on what is being said. I remember when, I even mentioned this to Randall, and he's not here, but the first time Randall spoke, in my mind, I wanted to go up to Randall and say, Randall, look up more. Don't read it every day. Make eye contact. But then I started listening to him, and if you actually listen to what Randall's written down, you wish it was in a book. He flows beautifully between thoughts. He brings together verses beautifully. He brings good parallels, and it's good. I am constantly listening to him. Yes, his head is down and he's not looking at you, but if you're listening instead of already looking for a wrong way of him delivering it, you will gain a lot of information. We have a great setup here in Cherrydale where we openly question or critique each other, and that is amazing, and that is why I still come here. Telling a shoplifter that stealing is a sin is not delivering the message. That's the does not listen to us part. Telling a shoplifter what they just did is not really their fault, but their parents and their past are to blame, and that's what left them poor and desperate, and hence they are innocent, is again delivering the incorrect message. And that is an example of the verse that said, the world listens to them. There is no one right way to deliver a message to that shoplifter, but one way could be bringing yourself on the same status as them by first talking about an instance where you stole, what drove you to steal, what it made you feel later, and then about the constant battle between the right and wrong that goes on in your head. That would have laid the foundation for explaining how and why it would only make sense if this mental struggle of yours would come to an end, or if there was someone somewhere who could take care of it for you. This I'm not going to read a lot of verses, but in John 15, again, Jesus is telling his disciples, the world is not going to listen to you, in his own words. I just paraphrased it. But here, you learn an MBA in sales school or an MBA, under promise, over deliver. And trust me, that was Jesus under promising and over delivering. Promise the disciples a rough time, that whenever they open their mouth, they are going to suffer hell. But then send in the Holy Spirit and deliver a new Christian into God's lap at the end of every outreach of theirs. Under promise, over deliver. Coming back to the theme of the sermon, know what is from God. When someone speaks to us, we need to pay attention to the content and weigh it in our heads and determine whether it is from God or not. You can follow every single one of the tips or tricks that Jim McCarthy shared and leave people applauding at the end of his sermon, but if you didn't know the scriptures yourself, if you didn't spend time with God, fellowship with Him, pray over the portion, study the portion, you will be found out. Matthew Stafford's sly move that you saw in the video earlier is an example of how when you are playing defense, you don't pay attention to the player but the ball. Keep your guard up and make sure that brown leather thing does not cross the line. It isn't so difficult when you think about it, but if the person holding the brown leather thing is showing something to you, you are not looking at a sign, you're not looking at the message that's being delivered, you're still staying and trying to see the content. You're trying to see what he's going to do next and not how he's going to do it. Let's wrap up. It was a simple three-part outline. So firstly, we realized that Mac indeed did do something useful with our money. And firstly, we actually realized that the word test is being brought up for a reason. We then clarified that all the repetitions of the word spirit, again and again, is not just a biblical terminology, but a pointer towards the mind of another person. Secondly, we examined the characteristics of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We saw what the difference would be when a person led by either spirit speaks. Lastly, we saw that in present-day society, there are fans following both sides because the delivery is what they relate to and not the message itself. For further study, if you need, you could review those books of the Bible that were written specifically to combat false teaching within the church. Galatians, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, and Jude. It is often difficult to spot a false teacher, false prophet. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. That's from 2 Corinthians 11:14. And his ministers masquerade as servants of righteousness. Only by being thoroughly familiar with the truth will we be able to recognize a counterfeit. If there is one thing you need to understand from these six verses, it is that you need to know God. You need to know who God is before you can make out who or what is from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for giving us this opportunity to come before you and study your word. Thank you for reminding us yet again of the world that we live in. It's a spiritual warfare, and it's not just the outside people who are being led by one spirit, but we have folks, our own brothers and sisters, who are being led by the wrong spirit. Help us grow closer to you before we judge our own brothers and sisters. Help us grow closer to you so that we know the word well. Help us grow closer to you so that when we know the word well, we can help our own brothers and sisters as they expound from the word. Help us live a life on this earth as ambassadors who are spreading the right gospel, who are spreading the right testimony, who sell the gospel in its entirety and not sugar-coated. And we ask that you continue to encourage us as you just did through the scriptures. The fact that you are greater than all these powers, you have already overcome them. Help us drive ourselves on a daily basis to not be disheartened by what we see around us and what we hear from the folks around us, but help us to stay on the path and know that this battle is already won. How much can I help is what matters. As we go out there today, help us be wise, help us to grow closer to you. but help us to continue fighting. We ask all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.